Before I go on to the message, though, I wanted to take just a second because we're all concerned about the hurricane victims up and down the East Coast, and that it's done some major damage over there. And Alice pointed out that the Samaritan's Purse is active already. They're there doing relief work. And there are a lot of good relief organizations. Samaritan's Purse is one of those. But tagging on to the cooperative program, I don't know if you're aware of this, but one of the things, you know, you give to the cooperative program through your gifts to this church. We support the cooperative program. That's why we tell you about these things. We want you to know what's happening around the world and what's happening in the United States. But one of the things that you support through the cooperative program is something called NAMB, N-A-M-B. It stands for North American Mission Board. It's the we used to refer to it as home mission. Okay, and it's basically the mission organization that we have to support the missionaries that work within United States and Canada and a few other places. But that's considered the North American Mission Board. And you know, we talk about them. Sometimes they tell you about the home missionaries up there, and they'll use that reference, NAMB or N-A-M-B. Sometimes it's IMB. IMB is the International Mission Board. But those are two organizations that are supported from us. What you may not realize is that some of your funds go to the state conventions, okay? And each state has its own convention, and almost every state has a disaster relief team, okay? A Southern Baptist disaster. Usually it's associated with the men's ministries in some form or fashion, but it's a disaster relief team. And when you give to the cooperative program, you're already giving to fund that disaster relief on an ongoing basis. But also through the North American Mission Board, they have this organization, this aspect of it called Send Relief. These magazines are out on the table. And if you're wanting to do something specifically to help, there are places in here, and it shows you, you know, how you can go about contributing, and it shows you, you know, places here where you can purchase items to help with the disaster relief and other efforts around the world, as well as here in the United States. You know, and they have places where you can send money to help cover the cost, and through this you can specify what you want it to go for the cost of purchasing like a blanket and stuff for these people that have been dislocated and no longer in their homes, and what you can do to help provide tangible. The other thing you need to understand is some of the disaster relief groups that you're going to see are going to be there kind of just really, you know, if you give a dollar to them, you're lucky if 30 cents gets to the place. However, with Southern Baptist, and I don't know what the number is for Samaritan's Purse, but I'm sure because of the integrity of the organization that it's a large dollar amount, but large percentage. But 100% of your disaster relief funds, when you give to that, when you give to the Lottie Moon, when you give to Annie Armstrong, when you give to state missions, 100% of those monies go to those efforts, okay? So whenever you give, and the reason is because the administrative costs are covered because of the dollars that you give to the cooperative program. So the administration is all taken care of, and it's your money goes to directly to the disaster relief. There's so many avenues by which you can choose to do it. If God reaches and touches your heart to do that, I pray that you will. Take your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter, oh golly. We got a closing song.
Can you do it?
I'm trying to think. Okay, I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell, in a real, real condensed version. Okay, because I want you to hear this truth today. All right, it's real important to understand this. So I'm going to do it. Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse 28. Now, understand what this follows, and remember, in the Greek, these thoughts were together. They weren't the paragraphs. They weren't the sentences. They weren't the structure that we see. But, you know, the translators of the Bible tried to put it together the best way they could. But right beforehand, he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's talking about the fact that that Christ is the one who is in us, and that is our hope. That's the thing that brings us hope in our lives. But then he goes on in verse 20 says, 28, and he says, he is the one we proclaim. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. And to this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. Let's pray. God, I just pray that as we take this time to look at your word, that you're going to speak to our hearts. And I pray, God, that if there's things that we don't understand, that we'll pursue it and we'll seek to know Christ, who will reveal to us the riches of your grace and of your goodness. I pray your Holy Spirit will be with us now to be our teacher, our leader, our guide, and that he'll open our ears that we can hear your truths, and open our hearts, God, that we can receive your word. Open our eyes to see you. In Christ's name, amen. So what I want you to start with is, go to that last sentence that I read, which was in verse 4. And he says, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. Paul had a purpose in what he wrote here in this passage in Colossians. Don't forget who he's writing to. Colossians, they had a lot of worship of nature. They had a lot of influence from the many gods of the area, of the community. There was a lot of emphasis upon this worship of the false idols. There was a lot of philosophy. There were a lot of different doctrines going around in this community. And they were all of this was misleading them. And Paul came and he says, look, I'm writing this letter. And he's telling us what his purpose is in this letter. He's writing all this. He's telling them all this that he's telling them, okay, that they may not, or that no one may be deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. Now, I just want you to understand, you know, we're faced with this just like they were faced with fine-sounding arguments back in their day. We are today too, okay? There are people that come with half-truths. There are people that come and say, well, it's Jesus Christ and, or Jesus Christ but. Okay, they come and they want us to add something to the gospel. They want to say, yeah, the gospel, Jesus Christ, is insufficient, all right? And they come with these fine-sounding arguments to do it. I'm reminded, you guys know that I like Monk, right? The television show Monk. Did you guys ever see the episode where the garbage guys went on strike? And the garbage was piling up everywhere and Monk couldn't stand it. And so what did he do? He packed it up in a box, and where did he send it? To his therapist, right? Okay, Dr. Kroger. But he packed it up in a nice looking box. It looked really good. And you put it on the ship or on the truck, and the garbage was gone. He was through of it, but what happened to Dr. Kroger? He opens it up, and what's he got? Garbage. And it didn't matter how nice the package looked. And that's exactly what happens today. People take packages. They put a whole bunch of garbage in. They wrap it up in fine-looking paper. They put a bow on it. It looks great. It looks wonderful. You put it under the tree, right, kind of thing, or put it on the table for a gift, and then you go in and you think you got something great, you open it up, and what do you find? A bunch of garbage, okay? And that's the way it is. And I mentioned this the other day in the Bible study. You know, I came in, drove in one time into Las Vegas. I forget, we were a group, and we were coming into Las Vegas, and you come down into there, and you know, if you come at nighttime, you see all the lights, right? And it looks absolutely gorgeous. It looks beautiful, right? And you think it's so attractive and so appealing and so wonderful. And then you get there, and the next day comes, the lights are off, the sun is up, and what do you see? You see all the dirt, all the trash, all the garbage on the streets. And you say, whatever looked good about this place? And you have to understand that so oftentimes, and that's what Paul is talking about. People take these philosophies, they take the things of the world that it has, which are really just garbage and trash, and they wrap them up so that they look good, and they try to deceive you with those arguments. And Paul says, no, he says, I'm telling you what? I'm telling you this. What did he tell them? Well, go back to verse 15, okay? We didn't read that part today, but that's kind of where his argument starts. And what is he doing? He's telling them, beginning in verse 15, about the supremacy of Christ. He's comparing, he doesn't do it directly, but he's comparing Christ and who he is with his supremacy to the gods that they're worshiping, the gods of nature. And he says, you worship nature? Why do you worship nature? Worship the God who created nature, Jesus Christ. He says, you're worshiping these false idols. Worship the Lord of Lords. Worship the God of God. Worship the one who holds it all together. Amen. That's right. You know, you do stuff like that. You say amen. That's like saying sic'em to a dog. Did you know that? Okay. And I'm just going to warn you, okay, because I get fired up with this stuff. And he says there in verse 15, he says, God, Jesus Christ is the image of God. You want to know who God is? Look at Jesus Christ. This is what Paul is starting. He says that at the beginning. He says, you're listening to the wrong people. You're hearing the wrong things. They're filling you with their philosophies. They're filling you with their doctrines. And you're missing the point that it's Jesus Christ. Now, he comes back and he says, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he says, he is the one we proclaim. You know, their problem today is we have a lot of people proclaiming their own doctrines. We have a lot of people coming up. They stand up in the pulpit and say, look at me. Look at all I've done. Look at what I've created. Look at the great church I have. Look at this. Look at that. He says, look at me. Or there are people that come in and they'll want to preach to you. And they'll say, look, I've got the system here. I know the plans. And you do this. You do A, B, C. And you're going to get to heaven. And you're going to feel better. Or the people like the Judaizers, they came into Colossae. And they had the rules and the regulations. And they said, that's how you're going to get saved. That's how you're going to know God. Follow these rules. Follow these regulations. And Paul says, no, it's none of that stuff. That doesn't do it. He says, I proclaim Jesus Christ. And he wants them to understand that Christ, the hope of glory in us, is the one that Paul is setting forward. And he is the one that I believe this church sets forward. He is the truth that we are to follow. And Paul maintains that. And he says, I admonish you. That word, admonishing. Some of your Bibles translate it as warn you, I'm warning you, or something like that. It carries with it this idea, this connotation of nudging you, of encouraging you, of helping moving you forward, but at the same time, putting up the caution flags. It's kind of like the kid in the street. You know, you want your child not to play in the street, and you tell them over and over again, don't play in that street. Now, you don't beat them over the head, but you want them to learn that doctrine. You want them to find out that it's dangerous in that street. And this is what Paul is doing to the Colossians. He's warning them. He's saying, look, you go messing with those doctrines. You try looking for the truth someplace other than in Jesus Christ, and you're going to miss it, and you're going to get run over by that truck. Okay, and he wants the Colossians to understand. He's admonishing them, and he says he's teaching them. He's teaching them the doctrines of the church. He's teaching them the true doctrines of who Jesus Christ is. And where is he getting those from? He's getting those from the Old Testament as they lay out the concept of who Jesus Christ was, that he was a suffering Messiah. And it's the idea that he's trying to teach them that exactly what the Bible teaches, what the Old Testament taught, and he's building upon that to teach them who Christ is and how he is the one who reveals who God is, okay? So he's going on and he says, and he does that so that he may present everyone fully mature. It's interesting, that word everyone, some of your translations just put everyone in there one time. I don't know. But some of them will repeat. See, he says, I admonish everyone. In the Greek, it's admonish everyone. It's then teach everyone. And then the final is so that I hate it when I lose my spot. So that he can present everyone fully mature. Everyone, over and over. What he's trying to tell you guys is that each person is important. It's not a blanket statement. I'll just throw this up. But I want to get with each person, every person, each one of you need to know who Jesus Christ is. It's not an option. Each person needs the teaching. Each person needs to be admonished. Each person. How well are we doing that as a church? Yeah, are we going to each person? Are we talking to each one? Are we admonishing each one? Because Paul says it's important that we do just that. Guys, that's why Bible study is important. I'm just going to slap you upside the head. Those of you who aren't coming to Sunday school, okay, shame on you. I'm warning you, okay? I'm admonishing you gently but firmly. Shame on you. You know, the point is, and it's not just Sunday school. We have other Bible studies. The women have Bible studies. We have a Thursday Bible study. The point is, the idea is, people, we need the teaching. We're not going to get it by osmosis. We can't put our Bible under the pillow and sleep on it overnight and think we're going to get it, okay? And you can't beat it in either. I've tried it, okay? It doesn't work that way. We can't get it. We've got to spend the time teaching, learning the doctrines. Paul's teaching it, but we've got to learn it. It's our responsibility to put ourselves in that place where we can be taught. And if we're not doing that, then we're failing. And the reason is because Paul, what? He wants us to know who Christ is. Now, my time's up, so I'm going to get cut right to the chase, okay? And if you go down to verse 2. Well, let's just go to verse 2. It says, my goal is that, chapter 2, verse 2. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of a complete understanding in order that they may, what? Know the mystery of God, namely Christ. You want to know who God is? You know, God, it's not a mystery any longer. It's been revealed in Jesus Christ, and that's what Paul is saying. And I want you to know him. And it's not this know where, hey, I got the facts, man. You know, I can recite, you know, the verses. I memorized the Ten Commandments, or I know the steps that we have to take in the church. And I know. It's not about facts, guys. It is the person. It's not about rules. It's about a person. It's about Jesus Christ. And it's him that we need to know. And Paul says, if you know him, you're not going to be deceived. Our problem is we're so busy chasing after all the packages that look pretty. We're so busy following the lights and getting confused and getting tempted by these things that look good that we fail to know Jesus Christ. You ever thought about it? You ever thought about the TV commercials? You know, I just realized this. They don't show you. You remember how they used to do the cigarette commercials or alcohol commercials and make it seem like it's such a wonderful thing? You know, hey, we got all this beer, we got this, you know, the liquor, and we get drunk, and all these parties are great, or the smoking these cigarettes, it's so wonderful. Do they ever show you the drunk lying in the gutter? Do they ever show you the guy who's dying from cancer and has all the tubes hooked up to him and lying in bed coughing because he's got lung cancer? Do they ever show you that result? No, they show you the tempting good things. And that's the problem. We see the good things and we think, yeah, that's the truth. And it's not. Who is the truth? Jesus Christ is. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And we fail to understand that it's Christ that we need to know, not a system, not rules and regulations. It's Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying this to the Colossians. We need to know him. And if we know him, we will not be deceived. Jesus Christ is the Word. He is the truth. He is the Word. He is the living Word. This Bible is the written Word, which reveals to us the living Word. And there's nothing else we need to know. I've tried to make that plain and clear throughout my time here as pastor. And I will continue as long as you allow me to preach right here. This is my source of truth. This is my source of revealing who God is. There's nothing else. And everything else is just a package full of garbage. Okay? And I think I've said it as plain as I can say it. My desire for this church is just like Paul's. I want you to know him so that you can know the fullest riches of his glory. that you can know his mercy, his grace, so that he can reveal to you all the mysteries of who God is, that you can know him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that, Father, you have been so good to us. You have poured out your love, your mercy, your grace upon us in ways that I still cannot fathom, God. And every day it seems, God, you reveal something new about your character to me that I've never seen before. And I pray, God, that we as a body in Christ might continue to seek after you and to grow closer to you and to know you. Reveal to us Christ and encourage us that we might pursue him. In Christ's name.